Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at Eastern Mennonite University. I want to welcome you to this week's podcast and give you a couple of updates of activities that are going on. We have fully wrapped up the fall season, and on Friday, the basketball season begins. It's hard to believe that we're already this far through the first semester, but time continues to fly, maybe when we're all having a good time. The women tip off at Messiah College in their invitational tournament on Friday at 2 p.m., and then depending upon, that is a true tournament, so depending upon the win or the loss, they would play on Saturday. I believe if they lose, they will play at 2 o'clock. If they win, they will play at 6 o'clock. The men tip off at home in a invitational tournament that involves Bridgewater College as well, so that should give us a good home crowd, and hope that if you're in the area, you can come out. They will tip off at 8 o'clock on Friday night, and then this is a classic, so they already know their opponent for Saturday. That will be at 4 p.m. Bridgewater will play prior to that at 6 p.m. and at 2 p.m. on Saturday. So if you're in the area and have a chance to come on out, we'd love to see you out here as we kick it off. There's going to be a lot of excitement as we get started, and next week we'll have plenty of opportunity to give you some updates of those activities, but you can always catch it online with the either watching it. They will be streamed again with the audio as well. You can watch the live stats, or you can always watch for the write-up at the end, and which this year will include a brief interview with the head coach that we've started in the fall and will continue. So hopefully you'll be able to be a part of that, and we kick off the winter season. I'd like to spend the podcast today talking about a little bit different subject, and maybe one that might not feel relevant to Division III. But this past week, I had the opportunity of being at a meeting with Tom Yeager. He was attending our Shenandoah Valley Athletic Club, a local group here that supports athletics at Bridgewater, JMU, and EMU, and brings speakers in once a month. Tom is the commissioner of the Colonial Athletic Association, which is the conference that JMU belongs to, a Division I conference. And he spent most of his time, both at around the dinner table as well as in his presentation, talking about the changing landscape of the conferences. As those of you who follow sports know, whether you're a football or basketball fan doesn't really matter. If you've seen what has happened to the SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-10, the Big East, the ACC, there were people jumping around. He talked about times when he's been in meetings where, or at least been aware of meetings where a conference would be meeting, their presidents and athletic directors would be together for dinner and a business meeting in the evening, and the next morning they'd go to resume, and somebody didn't show up for breakfast in the breakfast meeting. And about 2 o'clock that afternoon, they'd hold a news conference that they were moving to a different conference. And the commissioner sitting there had absolutely no idea what was going on. So we started to probe him a little bit to sort of figure out what some of this was all about. And what we discovered, of course, is I think you can figure out some of it yourself if you followed it at all. One of them is better TV deals or better markets that they would belong to. Of course, you need to be invited to come to some of these. He called it a beauty contest, and he talked about, he described it as the Newport effect. Now, Tom is a lover of the water. I think he loved boating, sailing, et cetera. And he said he was up in Newport, Rhode Island, a series of meetings, and came out of there. And he said it was just one of the most gorgeous days in the world. And the water was there, and the big yachts and the homes and all of that. And he just said, I could live here. I'd want to be here. And he went on and on to describe how much this sort of impacted him, and just the beauty of it, and just everything else. And when he sort of came back to reality, he began to realize that he really can't be there. His job is in Virginia. He doesn't have the kind of money that could support it. Well, I might be able to buy a home there or a yacht. But there's this Newport effect that he called, in which it is this beauty contest where you're trying to get to the best place. Whether you can afford it or not isn't really the rational part. And he talked about actually irrational activity and behavior on the part of college president, university presidents, and athletic directors, sort of along this line of indicating that this is where they want to be and they're going to do everything they can to get there, not maybe always counting the cost of what it will end up resulting in the future. whether that be loss of rivalries, whether that be if you've got to travel all the way across the country for a conference game, is your alumni base going to follow you, et cetera, and all of those types of things. As I listened to him and as I reflected over the next couple of days, I recognized wanted to go back to a series of articles that I became familiar with by Bill Pennington that appeared in the New York Times in 2008. He wrote a series of articles called The Scholarship Divide. And as we go about our recruiting efforts, it seems to me that we run into some of this same sort of Newport effect, if you will, in terms of the beauty of an athletic scholarship. And I commend these series of articles to you. Again, it's from the New York Times, March 10, 11, and 12 of 2008. It's entitled The Scholarship Divide, and it is written by Bill Pennington. It appeared in the New York Times. So if you have an opportunity to look that up, I'll make sure you do that. I'd like to highlight a couple of things that he talks about because these are some of the things that our coaches need to recruit about or against. So while the whole idea of athletic scholarships may not necessarily apply to a Division III, I thought it would be helpful for people to give it some thought. And I want to, first of all, clarify I am no expert on this. I have not worked at a Division I institution, so I don't know fully how to operate with all of them. And as the late president of the NCAA, Miles Brand, has said, it is probably one of the most confusing parts of the whole athletic endeavor in university. So I'm not at all claiming to do that, but I'd like to highlight a couple of things that come out of that article that I think are interesting. First of all, that the average scholarship, and this is one of the things that was interesting for a lot of people to find out, excluding the glamour sports of football and basketball, the average NCAA athletic scholarship is nowhere near a full ride. Instead, it is about $8,707. In sports like baseball or track and field, the number is routinely as low as $2,000. And even when you add football and basketball into this average, it becomes $10,409, whereas the tuition and room and board at a lot of NCAA institutions are anywhere between $20,000 and $50,000 a year. So the first note would be the fact that it is not many of them are not full rides, and when you figure out the whole average, you end up that. I'd like to highlight how this is divided, and the NCAA does have limits on how many you can offer, and I'd just like to share a couple of those statistics here. In baseball, Division I can offer 11.7 scholarships, Division II, 9 scholarships. In basketball, it's 13 for Division I and 10 for Division II. In football, if you're in the bowl division, it's 85 scholarships, and if you're in the championship division, it's 63. Golf allows 4.5 scholarships, lacrosse 12.6, soccer 9.9, tennis 4.5, and volleyball 4.5. And on the women's side, in basketball, it's 15 scholarships for Division I, 10 for Division II. In golf, it's 6 and 5.5 for Division II. In soccer, it's 14 scholarships for Division I and about 10 for Division II. Softball is 12 scholarships and 9 for Division II. Tennis is 8 and volleyball is 12. Now, the other thing to recognize about these scholarships, when you think about that many, that is over a four-year period. So what you're finding is that there are a lot of coaches who are dividing that up. And so when you look at the averages, there is a part of that article was a graph and called Scholarships Slicing a Pie. And it does have the number of high school boys participating in a sport, the number that are awarded, scholarships awarded, students receiving them, total amount given, average of full scholarship, and then the yearly value. So when you look at the yearly value, again, the basketball on the men's side is about $16,500. In football, it's about $12,000. In tennis, it's about 9. Soccer is 8, 8.5. Wrestling is 6,700. Track and field cross country is about 6,000. Baseball is 5,000, as I had mentioned. On the women's side, And most notably, it should be noted that the highest yearly value per recipient of any scholarship is ice hockey on both men's and women's side. Basketball on the women's side is $15,000. Volleyball is $12,000. Tennis is $12,000. Field hockey is $10,000. Golf is $9,000. Lacrosse is $9,500. Soccer is $8,400. Softball is $8,200. Track and cross country is $8,105. Now, what I don't know about the Division I scholarships is whether or not you then, some schools I sure handle it differently, whether you can stack the aid and then start to get the academics on top of that. But if you begin to look at some of those numbers, while I'm not minimizing the amount of money that that is, and you would have to pay that if you didn't get that scholarship and would come to a place like EMU, the reality is that if you, particularly if you can't add academic on top of that, you're clearly better off looking at the academic side of things. The other thing about the scholarships that a lot of people don't recognize is the fact that they are renewed. They are not guaranteed, so you must renew them every year. They can be pulled at any point. I had a good friend of mine whose son was playing Division I baseball, had a scholarship there, and once there was an injury that they couldn't quite figure out, he had treatment in several different ways, and then the scholarship was pulled. There was another friend of mine, another baseball player, who they reduced the number of scholarships available for baseball, and he was entering his senior year. He had been a relief pitcher, and he was informed that, unfortunately, the coach had to go with those who he felt could best bring him a championship, and so they pulled his scholarship as well. Fortunately, he was able to stay in school. But it is not guaranteed. They must be renewed. They also are typically split among several or many, which is why you can get down to about $2,000 for a scholarship. Unfortunately, one of the things that came out of the article was the, and it goes back to this Newport effect, is the number of parents who are asking the coaches, just give them something so that they can sit at the national signing day and be recognized as a scholarship athlete. And so what I would like to at least have people consider is the fact that, and we haven't not even talked about what happens with a Division I athlete, and there's these series of articles pulls a lot out about what the demands are for that person, talking about early 7 a.m. classes so that they can get rid of those before they get to practice, spending anywhere from 6 to 7 hours a day on their sport, et cetera. I don't want to minimize at all the opportunity that someone has to have a scholarship, an athletic scholarship. I would simply call attention to parents and students that are out there to make sure that they've done their homework to fully look at what it is that the athletic scholarship will bring. The name is nice. To be able to say that you got a scholarship is something a lot of parents I know and kids sometimes become proud of. But if that's the driving force behind us, then I think we'll be, and as these articles point out, you'll clearly be misled when you get to the final tally and you start to look at the bottom line and you talk to the coach and figure out what the scholarship is actually going to be. But it is something that our coaches are challenged with when they're out on the recruiting circuit. So again, I certainly have not covered it in detail, but I wanted to give you some of the statistics of some of what is happening within the scholarship arena of Division I, because, and while you may or may not be facing that, I recognize the fact that if you come to a Division III school and there are no scholarships athletically available, and the bottom line is what's going to determine where you're going, if you can get that scholarship money athletically, it certainly is a benefit to you, and I understand that completely. But once you start putting all of your eggs in that basket, it may not be something that's going to be as realistic as what we'd like to think from the start. So I encourage you, if you're a young person out there or a parent on this process of trying to decide where your son or daughter is going to play and encourage and end up for college, make sure that you've laid all the cards on the table and figured out exactly what is the best situation. And when you start to look then about what the demands are, because once again, once they are paying you, you become theirs. And many of the persons in these articles talk about how it has become a business for them. And so I'd like to encourage parents to consider the fact that the total package of your atmosphere, everything around you, where you're going to be for the 4 years is probably just as is critical, and I recognize that the bottom line is the bottom line, and some can afford it and some can, and that's a very difficult challenge for us to face. But to get caught up in the idea that the athletic scholarship is the way I'm going to go is something that maybe we need to double check on before we head too far down that road. So once again, I encourage you to look up the New York Times article from 2008 by Bill Pennington. I invite your response. Anytime you want to shoot me an email, I'll be happy to continue to talk about it. But it is something that we face here, and it's something that it is happening in athletics. And so throughout the next course of the next year, I'm hopeful to take occasional podcasts to pick up one or two of these comments, one or two of these ideas from athletics that I continue to see and that we continue to work with. Thanks for joining us this week. And until we join again next week, I invite you to make it a great week.